Nathaniel Fisher is a mechanical engineer. He's worked in manufacturing, documentation, and design work, and is currently in product development at BB7. Randy Iliff told me that Nathaniel had a lot of experience with projects that are primarily understood or inherit characteristics with relatively little, say 10%, new feature. So I gave him a call to gain some insight into the finer points of this space. We talked about one specific product that he'd recently worked on, a diesel-powered radiant heater for outdoor use, like for farms or construction.
So essentially the project was cost reduction.
In what sense?
I guess the approach that I took was if we can ease manufacturability and assembly time, as well as eliminate redundant components, that should net a cost savings.
What was your actual guidance?
Part of the project was going to be to redesign a new one, but they also wanted to sort of streamline their assembly process as well. By eliminating assembly time, eliminating weld time, number of processes, a number of steps. So I guess the initial approach that I took was to sort of highlight the sticking points, like the difficult to assemble pieces, and see if there was a way to streamline them.
Streamline in terms of production or their use once they were built and how they consumed energy or how efficient they were in production?
All of those. The main component that I can think of was a multiple piece weldment.
Tell me what that means.
It's an assembly of any weldable material. In this case it was steel or stainless steel. I think it was 12 or 13 parts that were welded together. And there was quite a bit of variability in the tolerancing on the parts. So they had a lot of problems with final assembly. They ended up having to do a lot of rework.
Because the tolerances were wrong, they'd go to put the product together and they simply didn't fit?
Right. Or some of the parts wouldn't fit into the other parts that once they were welded. So the approach that we had there was to, rather than have these formed and welded sheet metal components, we wanted a different manufacturing method. We ended up using a spun part.
What's that?
I guess in a way it's sort of like pottery. You spin it on a wheel and then you form it. And I believe the final part count on that was about 3.
So you reduce the number of parts. Essentially, you reduce variability in the product design, right?
Right.
By the manufacturer.
By eliminating piece parts. And also, assembly time was greatly reduced. There was a lot of time that they were spending just getting the parts to fit together. And overall, there was a reduction in cost of about 25%. Also, the assembly time was reduced by per unit. I think they estimated that they were putting in, I think from start to finish, they were talking about a couple hours. And I think we brought that down to maybe a half an hour, just because we eliminate so many of the headaches associated with the previous version. And also, they were really happy with the final design.
I assume they gave you a schedule and a budget?
They had a pretty flexible schedule. Well, I guess the first couple of weeks I spent understanding the current machine and addressing some of the current concerns with it. And the rest of the time we spent doing sort of research on improvements and implementing them into the new design. I did end up giving them a presentation of what my vision for the new product would be. I gave them several options based on what I interpreted from them. And we ended up choosing one and going forward with it.
So as you approach a project like this, what would be your lessons learned from this about what to approach and how?
One of the hardest things is to stay sort of focused on what you're there for. It's easy to get distracted by smaller things that maybe won't end up with as much of a payoff in the end.
I mean, so how can you determine that when you're walking into the project?
Let's say it's probably instinct.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could probably say, how much is this going to save me in the end? And is it worth going down this path? Or should I focus my energy elsewhere?
I mean, that's really the question for the variability issue here. It seems that once you get started in that path, you seem to know what to do. There's a process for this.
Right.
The question is, which path and how much time do you spend in that path? How did you validate, or how do you validate, if you're in the right path?
In this case, it had to do with whether or not we were going to actually save time or money on the end result.
Mm.
In other cases, it's maybe not as clear.
So now we have at least a tenuous grasp of how these three categories of projects play out, right? Of course, everything seems knowable in the abstract, but what's it really like to embark on one of these projects from day one? Can you really know in advance which category you're walking into? What's the impact of that? Because that understanding kind of determines the approach. Let's hear what Randy has to say about that.
If we're looking at things along some sort of continuum of 10% new versus 50% new versus 90% new, and we're talking about the different skill set ultimately that is really needed there, where the danger comes in is when it's 50-50. Because
exactly.
You don't know which end you're on to say, well, at least it's the kind of thing I understand. I'm the smart scientific, or I'm the good PM kind of guy. It's the, I didn't recognize how much standard or how much new was in this.
Yeah. That's a really excellent point, Kendall. Anytime you're close to one or the other of the two extremes, you can use the complete body of methods from that extreme with only a small impact to the other set. There's a particular type of error and symptom that comes up if I mismatch these methods. If I take a creative method and I use it in an environment where done is already known, where it's a fixed, a constant, and if I bring a dynamic solution into a fixed environment, I will eventually reinvent the wheel and I'll ship something out on round tires. It's just inefficient to reinvent the wheel. If I take the other error, though, if I take a hardcore, you will always do it this way prescriptive approach, and I bring that into a creative environment, I will fail every time the standard answer doesn't accidentally match the circumstances I'm facing. So that this breaks down much faster when you move from the production scale towards the creative end than when you move from the creative end back towards the production end.
So when unknown, be creative and actually use your process. As knowns become more known, go ahead and slip into your more mechanical approach, your more structured approach.
Yep.
So how do we learn this? As PMs, where can this be learned?
Most PMs balance what they're doing on even mega projects against what would make sense in just individual interactions or social structures. I think the same thing takes place here. Don't assume PMBOK is complete and structured and satisfies all these needs. Use it as a foundation and then say, okay, well, what happens when more plates are spinning than that? Well, I've got to get them to slow down, and then I can catch them and I can put them back in the dishwasher. But I can't get them all to spin at the same time, and I can't catch them all at the same time. So what order will I manage this mess in?
It's helpful to have a framework that describes you will face this, it will be different, and you can act differently.
When people have been exposed to this idea of what part is new and what part is fixed where I can reuse existing methods, it's an incredible luxury because now they have a way of just grabbing two markers and the work breakdown structure or the schedule they're given and highlighting install fasteners. Well, anybody who's been trained ought to do that. I've got a time and an expectation for it. Figure out where the fasteners get installed. Well, somebody's got to think about that. So you have two classes of work, and it's almost the same thing that a PM is used to when they're dealing with critical path or things that have slack time. Mm. Every PM has learned that the critical path stuff is different. The slack time is their friend, and they have different rules, different structures of management, and they switch things back and forth as the reality of the project changes. If you take that same skill and you now say, this is a constant. It's fixed. It's anchored to something we've done in the past. There's a reference for it. I can go grab all of my PM and production logic and just apply that, and it's exactly the right thing to do for this part of the project. And then over here, though, this is different. These are the eggs. I've got to hatch those before I know what's in them. Over here, I can start the souffle right away.
It's heartening to know that even in projects with huge, looming unknowns, there's a method you can use, a kind of map that will lead you to your goal. First of all, just dig in. Don't wait for the entire picture to come into focus. Start moving forward on the pieces that are known. Also, when in doubt, err on the side of creativity. But yeah, don't reinvent the wheel. Use common sense. It's not rocket science, except when it is. But seriously, project management is a logical and human system. Your instincts may be more reliable than you think. Special thanks to my guests Randy Iliff, Ruth Berry, and Nathaniel Fisher, and of course to Randy for connecting me to the other two.
Our theme music was composed by Molly Flannery, used with permission. Additional original music by Gary Fieldman, Rich Greenblatt, and Lionel Lyles. Post-production performed at Empowered Strategies, and technical and web support provided by Potomac Management Resources.
PMPs who have listened through this complete podcast may submit a PDU claim, one PDU, in the Talent Triangle, Technical Project Management with the Project Management Institute's CCR system. Use provider code C046, the Washington, D.C. chapter, and the title PMPOV0038, Systems Engineering. Visit our Facebook page, PM Point of View, to comment and to listen to more episodes. There you will also find the links to the transcripts of all of our productions. You can also leave a comment at pmiwdc.org/contact. And of course, you may contact me directly on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Kendall Lott, and until next time, keep it in scope, well, discover scope, and get it done.
This podcast is a Final Milestone production, distributed by PMI WDC. Final Milestone.